Now, Kerry Civil War Conference got underway last night in Chimsetira in Tralee. It runs yesterday, today and tomorrow. There's a full programme of events, of discussion on academic and other levels in relation to several different aspects of the Civil War in general and the Civil War particularly here in Kerry, where it was most intense and most vicious. Really 100 years ago this month, right in this period. We've been talking a lot this week about Ballyseedy and Knocknagoshal and Countess Bridge and other issues like that. In a moment, we're going to speak to two of the speakers at the conference to get into the issues and look at where we are now, 100 years on. But first, here's a little bit of the Ballyseedy documentary done by Pat Butler, which was broadcast on RT back in 1997. It's going to be screened at a special screening in Chimsetira this evening.
At 2 a.m., on the morning of March 6, 1923, in Burksfield, at Borinarigh Wood, Mean Banavan, the IRA Knocknagoshal trapline found its mark. Lieutenant Patrick O'Connor of Glounsheroon, bachelor, age 30, the Ballypats of our story was blown into eternity. Four others died along with him. Captains Edward Stapleton and Michael Dunn of the Dublin Guard, heroes both of the War of Independence, and two enlisted men, Michael Gallivan of Killarney and Lawrence O'Connor of Causeway. What happened here was of an entirely different scale to anything previously seen in an already bloody conflict. The horror still lives in the memory of those who saw the aftermath.
So she said, there's no school today. So she, we went down to the bridge and we were stopped. So she, by the staters, there's something after happening. So she hung up in the wood, that was the mind. Then we inquired, and next thing was we saw him dragging over, stand over again. From our house, we saw him going on with the stretchers and the things inside, and coming back and going on, coming back and going over.
Another fella, one of our lads, asked to be left to his prayers. He said, no prayers. He said, the old fellas didn't get any time for prayers. And he says, maybe some of you might go to heaven. He said, he might meet old fellas there. And they tied us in, our hands behind our back, and left about a foot between the hands leg and the next fella. And he circled, they tied us in a circle in around the mine. And they tied our legs in, and the knees as well, with a rope. And then they tore off our caps and they said we could be praying away now as long as we like. So the next fella to me said his prayers and I said mine too. But I still kept watching for their wind leg. It was that that saved me afterwards. But he said goodbye then, and I said goodbye, and the next fella picked it up and he said goodbye, goodbye lads, and up it went.
There you go, that's Stephen Fuller talking there in an interview he did with Robert Key, which is shown as part of that documentary on Ballyseedy. And also you heard there of Pat Butler narrating the aftermath of what happened in Knocknagoshal. With me in our studio in Tralee to talk about their part of the Kerry Civil War Conference, I've got Tralee-born Dr. Helen O'Keefe, who is a historian and project manager based in the School of History, University College Cork. She's speaking today on A Troubling Inheritance, the Civil War in Kerry in Oral History and Memory. And Dr. Fionnuala Walsh, Assistant Professor of Modern History in University College Dublin, who will be speaking tomorrow morning on the gallant fight, violence, trauma and loss at Clashmaleacon Caves. Good morning to both of you, and thanks so much for talking to us and coming into us on the programme this morning. Helen, if I can ask you first, how important is it that this conference itself is happening and happening in Kerry 100 years on, as we look to kind of examine as best we can with the benefit of hindsight what happened, the terrible things that happened here 100 years ago?
Good morning, Jerry. I think it's very important that this centenary conference is happening here in Tralee, on the site, I suppose, of some of the more difficult, more tragic elements, I suppose, of the Civil War. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for people to come together to consider the details of this period in Irish history through the lens, I suppose, of, you know, recent research, academic study, but also the incredible work that was done by the students in MTU in reinterpreting this period of the Irish Revolution based on letters and primary source material and archives that have thankfully and fantastically become more available during the decade of the Needries. So there's so just to answer your question, Jerry, I think it's a very important conference. It's one of the most significant events in this final year of the decade of the Needries, and the fact that it's happening in Kerry on the site of one of the more troubling aspects of I suppose the Irish Civil War is very, very important.
Yeah.
So I'm delighted to be here.
And you mentioned there the work of the MTU students and that work of the oral memory, the oral history and memory of it. That was different. The documentary tonight did great work back in the late 90s in interviewing people before it was too late, before they were gone, of their memories of the time. But how difficult was it in terms of, you know, being able to access that oral history, given a lot of the combatants themselves just didn't want to talk about it for a long time?
Absolutely. When we talk about the Civil War, we talk an awful lot, I think, about the silences, that axiomatic veil of silence that was drawn around the Civil War. And that silence was, I suppose, a means of preservation, emotional preservation for a lot of people, because so much of what happened was so, so difficult. Oral history like that recorded by Robert Key, and actually I have to say the oral history that was recorded by my own father, Maurice O'Keefe, who's an oral historian based here in Tralee in County Kerry, and he collected an awful lot of oral history from people, admittedly quite elderly people, who had memories of the Irish Civil War, and that is incredibly valuable because, you know, certainly there were silences, but also, as Siobhan Aiken actually recently has shown in her work Spiritual Wounds, there were also sort of counter-archives. There were also instances where people did talk about it. And oral history provides access, perhaps, to some of that yeah. unspoken history, if you know
which
what
is
mean.
Which is very important. Dr. Fionnuala Walsh, can I ask you, you're going to be talking on the Clashmailcon case, which is kind of viewed as one of the last acts of extreme violence of the Civil War.
Yes, absolutely. So it's April 1923, just shortly before the Civil War came to an end. Basically, the local Republicans were on the run, and they went to the caves at Clashmilken, Dunford's Cave, as a place to hide out. Six of them were hiding there, and the Free State Army learned of their location. They'd have taken hostage a local member of the IRA, Jim McGrath, and learned a possible hideout from him. And so on the morning of 16th of April, they came down to the cliffs, and they laid siege, basically, to the men in the caves for the next few days. And there was a shootout involving the deaths of two Free State soldiers, Harry Pearson and James O'Neill. Two of the IRA men at the cave tried to swim out to sea during the night, tried to move to another cave, but they were lost at sea and their bodies never recovered. And then on the morning of 18th of April, Timothy Arrow Lyons from Kilflynn, who was leading the group of the cave, he decided to surrender, perhaps hoping that it might spare the lives of the other men. And a rope was lowered to help him climb up the cliffs, but the rope was either cut or broke, and he fell to the land below, and he was shot from above by the Free State Army and killed. And then the others at the cave then surrendered, but they were then brought to Tralee Barracks, and three of them were executed a couple of days later. So in total, eight lives were lost from that incident.
Yeah, and the aftermath of that, the aftermath of Knocknagoshal, of Ballyseedy, Countessbridge, is what created the divisions that were there and the scars for many, many years. How do we view it? And by having events like this, Fionnuala, I suppose it goes some way to taking a look at it and bringing together all of the learnings, the knowledge, the work that ye have done and others who will be speaking at the conference, to examine as objectively as possible, given the emotions that still run high in Kerry today about what happened over this period in the county.
Yeah, so one of the, I think, things that's a real feature of this conference is the emphasis on sort of the legacies, on the social impact, the impact for families, the impact for communities, for the decades afterwards of all of these events. So what it meant for them afterwards, the economic loss of the person who was killed, the trauma, the grief, the bereavement, All of these sort of aspects are now coming much more to the fore. And this is very much due to the availability of source material. So in recent years, we've had the wonderful digitisation of the and release of the Military Service Pensions Collection at the Military Archives in Dublin. And there's a real wealth of material in those. Lots and lots of material for Kerry in the Civil War. I was able to find lots of material on the families of the men who were killed at Clashmilken. And just on you know, the lasting legacies of those effects for them and the impact of all of this in the period afterwards. And so this is what the conference is really tackling, is those sort of socioeconomic impacts, memory, trauma, these sort of issues, how it's been written about, gendered violence, all of these sort of issues now. You know, I suppose the distance of 100 years allows us to maybe tackle some of these issues that couldn't be looked at properly before.
Yeah, can those issues be separated from the politics of today, Fionnuala? In terms of, look, even the issue this week of there's five different commemorations of the one event at Ballyseedy.
No, so these events still continue to be heavily politicised, absolutely. And there's still battles over commemoration, ownership of memorials, you know, whose memory, what gets remembered. That certainly is part of it. And, you know, I think over that 100 years, there's always been attempts to tie the events of 1922, 1923 into narratives about what was happening in the Troubles, for example, other political issues of the time. And so, you know, the history has been politicised endlessly over that period. But I think there's a huge interest now in moving beyond just the sort of politics of it and moving beyond Civil War politics and thinking a bit more about loss on all sides and just thinking about the rebuilding of communities in the period afterwards, how people managed to live with their enemies in their midst, how they managed to get on with things. And I think that's a really important aspect that is coming to the fore a lot more at the moment.
Yeah. Helen, if I could ask you on that oral history side of things and what Fionnuala was talking about there, the social history of it is important because that you can't ignore that when trying to understand what happened and why it happened. The deprivation economically at the time, you had the people fighting on behalf of those who felt they were the last fighters for the true republic, the anti-treaty side, but they were fighting amongst the people who were starving, effectively, who had 10 years of war, train lines were being disrupted, you know, food supplies were at a minimum, there was rationing going on, and all of that contributed, I suppose, to the atmosphere of the time and I suppose the suffering of people on either sides of the war.
Oh, absolutely, Jerry. I think Professor Dermot Ferriter, when he was delivering his keynote at the opening of the conference last night, he really set the tone and the frame in that regard for hopefully the next couple of days of papers, and the importance of that social side as well, of course, as the military and political sides. He talked about the fact that, you know, for so long we've looked at the Irish Civil War in terms of that very simple binary, the pro and the anti-treaty, the military and the political, whereas in fact we really, and we have been during this decade of centenaries of sort of, you know, accelerated scholarship around various aspects of the Irish Revolution, we have started looking more in terms of shades and shadows rather than that distinct black and white. He spoke about the fact that, you know, we need to look at people engaged in the Irish Civil War violence at various levels of extremity and neutrality, and also the Civil War affected people far beyond the militants. And the oral history, I think, really is a very important source in that regard, because, you know, for such a long time, oral history was disregarded as the source material for memory or for history because of that perceived unreliability. But, you know, if treated carefully, if triangulated with other sources, it does provide that very human side, that very human experience, that lived experience, I suppose, of the Irish Civil War. And as you say, indeed, the Civil War affected civilians in myriad ways. That wasn't just, you know, the immediacy of violence or the impact of violence. It was also, as you say, the incredible unemployment during that period, the deprivation. You know, Kerry itself, by September, I suppose, after the Free State landing, the national press was describing Kerry as being effectively isolated from the rest of the country. And that was because of the cumulative effects of, you know, road trenching, cutting of telephone wires,
Also, of course, the cessation of rail services. So people were cut off. You know, there was no news filtering into Kerry. And also, of course, there was diversion of provisions which threatened people and their livelihoods and the ability to feed their families. So that type of social history, you know, oral history can provide access to that in ways that maybe, you know, more traditional sources can't.
Fionnuala, if I could, a final point to you on the wider sense of why what happened, why it got so vicious. And I know there'll be a lot of discussion as well about the role of the Free State government in terms of, you know, what they knew about what happened in the various atrocities, and Paddy O'Daly and the comment like, you know, no one asked me to take my kid loves to Kerry and I didn't. In terms of what happened to Clashmailcon and what happened in places like Ballyseedy, in places like Knocknagoshal, you know, the role of violence in all of that, the desensitization of people who had already been fighting for quite a number of years, had seen comrades being killed, had killed and been injured themselves, did that play a big role in we were at the end stage of a 10-year period, I suppose, of violence?
Absolutely.
when the war happened in Kerry?
Yeah, no, we absolutely need to look at this within the context of what's been going on for the previous decade. You know, so people have lived through the First World War, they've lived through the War of Independence, and now this. And so norms of behaviour changed, norms of violence changed. There was a sort of brutality became more acceptable, and people became, I suppose, to some level, perhaps desensitised to it. And in the midst of it, you know, it just things happened that couldn't have been imagined in a normal peacetime situation. And perhaps even a year later, people couldn't even imagine how they had done what they had, how they'd been involved in what they had. But just in the midst of it, you know, especially if you look at spring 1923, the sheer number of events even just in one county, and the loss, some really terrible events, you know, Knocknagoshal, Ballyseedy, and then coming up to Clashmailcon. You know, just it all shifted in terms of what could be expected, and what each side maybe anticipated from the other, and it just people were, you know, prepared to do things that you know, just wouldn't have been imaginable in any other circumstances.
Yeah. That quote from Stephen Fuller there saying, you know, can we say our prayers? And I said, no, our lads didn't get a chance to say prayers.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's
a reprisal. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, look, my thanks to both of you for talking to us in the programme this morning about a good look with the talks that you're giving, Dr. Helen O'Keefe, later on today, of course, historian and project manager based School of History, University College Cork. She'll be speaking at 3:45 today, A Troubling Inheritance of Civil War in Kerry, in Oral History and Memory. And Dr. Fionnuala Walsh, Assistant Professor of Modern Irish History in University College Dublin, who spent much of her childhood in Clashmailcon, talking tomorrow morning on the gallant fight, violence, trauma and loss at Clashmailcon Caves. If you have a view on that, get in touch with us in the programme. That documentary is being screened tonight. It's sold out. Don't try and get tickets. A huge demand for a lot of the events, of course, sold out this evening, the screening of that documentary as part of it, that one that was shown originally on RTE, Pat Butler's one, back in 1997. If you have a view on any of that, a view of how we should look at it now, and that interesting point made by both Fionnuala and Helen there in relation to the oral history and the memory of it and how we view things objectively 100 years on.